One time. There's no second person here. There's no two times. Why? He got snipered. By whom? Don't want to say. Cue the sniper, girl. I wanna take you around the whole world, and it's your inner saboteur. That's the real criminal that I'm shooting for. Cue the sniper, girl. Cue the sniper, girl. Hey everyone, it's Joe Batance right here doing the show solo, kind of. Let me explain to you what happened. So, you know, we've been doing this thing where we had the cream of the crop, the people who submitted the best audio samples for their, giving their hot takes on RuPaul's Drag Race. We split them over a couple of weeks. And we had Group A last week with Najima, Ramcharan, and Scott. And this week we were supposed to have CJ, Ian, and Kevin. And we recorded an entire same length, same everything segment with Robert and me and And then I got the audio. Two of the three guests, their tracks were just completely unusable. You know, the way this service that we use works is that they essentially do a Zoom call, okay? But BTS, behind the scenes, they're separately recording your side of the audio on the computer. So the part that was there, so I didn't hear that part. And so I just heard like a Zoom call for the most part. And then when I went to edit the tracks, and I tried to improve them, I tried to fix them, it was just essentially like, and I couldn't fix it. And so now we need to come up with a show. That's what I'm doing now. And so what happens is the way we record those episodes is we do it backwards. So we do the second half first. And then Robert and I, we say goodbye to everybody. And then Robert and I go and record the first part before the break second. Okay, but now we're going to flip it back. So I'm going to talk to y'all for a little bit about some ideas I have, some topics. It's going to be off the cuff. Then I'm going to throw to a break. But when you come back from the break, it's going to be back to Cue the Sniper Girl. And when the show ends, it's going to be just like you're going to break. It's going to be a very confusing episode because everything's going to be shuffled. Because I'll be honest with you, here's some tea as well. And we addressed this on the part where Robert and I just spoke, is that there's really not much to discuss on this episode. And even we covered it on the long lost group talk, and there was even not a lot to discuss there. I mean, it was just like, there wasn't much to discuss. So Robert and I just, you'll hear, we just shot the shit about our personal lives for the first 10 minutes and then 10 or 15 minutes. And then we went from there into the discussion that's now lost and is lost to time. But let's actually talk about that. I want to talk about why is it, because this is not, the fact that this episode was boring has nothing to do with the fact, it's no fault of the queens. It's not necessarily a fault of the show, because historically speaking, with one exception that comes to mind immediately, the second to last episode, not the second to last episode, that's not necessarily true. The last episode in the workroom before the reunion, before the finale, before all the other stuff, the last episode they film in the workroom is historically very boring. The only one exception that comes to mind is when season 5. I think, believe that is when Jinx and Roxy have sort of their big blow up, but other than that, for the most part, the last episode in the workroom is very boring. And I think there's a few reasons for that. Well, first of all, by this point, the queens have already established who they are. They've shown what they can do. And now they've made it this far. So all that type A competitive anxiety has now dissipated. You know, so now that we've made it, especially like I said, you know, I said on the show, I believe, that this is the first top three that they've had since season 8 with Chi Chi Devane. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't they have a top three with season 9, but then they just mysteriously brought Peppermint or something? I feel like there was something weird like that too. I don't think it was a very clear top four going into the finale in season 9. I feel there was some sort of like cliffhanger or something, or there was something weird. So by this point it's dissipated, right? They've sort of relaxed because they in their heads have made it to the finale. They've made it to the top. They've made it to the final day of production. So they don't have a lot to prove. And so in terms of like workroom drama, like I said, with the exception of season 5, they're just like, yeah, well, we all made it. We're here. And let's just revel in that. And that's what we'll do. The other thing, too, is, like I said, because they've already made it this far, the stakes are much lower. So they're not, again, they're not having to fight for crumbs and try and prove themselves to make it to the end or get that last spot in their head. I mean, again, Q was probably operating under this belief that she made it to the finale. So in their head, they've just made it. And also at the end of the day, too, by this point, if the producers have done their job, everything that needs to be said in terms of people's backstories, in terms of people's trauma, drama, and conflama, it's been said, it's been discussed, it's been brought out. We know everybody's backstory or as much as we're going to get about their backstory. So there's nothing really even left to be said. And then also, just from it's boring, just from even as here's the deal too. There are people who did not find this episode boring. And I often wonder if it's people who have to recap the show find it boring. Perhaps if you're a person who checks their email and looks at TikTok and Instagram and does other things, plays a video game while they're watching the show, it probably wasn't a bad episode because you weren't missing anything. You could actually be distracted and be like, oh, okay, that was a pleasant way to spend an hour or hour and a half because I was doing other things. I was cleaning my office. I was doing whatever. And it's a show, an episode that I could not necessarily pay full attention to and be totally still in the game. And so maybe other people didn't find it boring, but if you're a person who watches the show carefully, if you're a person who has to recap it, give notes, talk about it, it's kind of a boring episode. And that's just sort of the way it works. Because the other thing, too, is everyone's on their best behavior. Here's why it's a boring recap show. Everyone is on their best behavior for the reasons that I said, but also because they know now they're in contention to be the, next drag superstar. And then, two, is if you think about it, by this point, in theory, all of the filler queens and all the lesser queens are gone. You are looking at the cream of the crop. How many times do you hear the queen say like, oh, this is the top four I imagined, or here's who I thought would be here. They say that so often. And I think it's because they, when they walk in and even maybe after an episode or two, can size up, okay, here are the queens who are really good. And then here are the queens who are maybe not so good. And so that's kind of, you know, everyone there's good. No one's, there are always exceptions, but generally everyone who makes it into the top four is really good and is not going to make a fatal error at this point. Or at least if they do, it's not going to be presented this way, because this is also the episode for the most part where just tons and tons of praise is heaped upon the queens. And so again, maybe while you're doing something else, it's an interesting episode to watch, but as a recapper, not so much. Now, I want to go because there are people speaking of the fact that this is the first top three with since, you know, season 8 is we have to remember that the finale, or making it to the finale, is promised to no one. And that RuPaul's Drag Race has never established really any concrete ground rules. Like, there will always be this. This is something that is both fan-made and contestant-made. That doesn't mean that RuPaul's Drag Race doesn't have their own behind the scenes or casual way of doing things on that show. I don't know what it is. I'm not privy to how they do things. All I could ever do is speculate. But what I will say is, you know, when I, a good example when one of the contestants do it is, you often hear this in All Stars, or sometimes you hear in the show too. They do track record, and the show has never, to my knowledge, ever commented or said that track record or how many repeater badges you have or how many this or that. Not to say that doesn't factor, but they've never said, but the queens act like this is official policy. You know, same thing. That's why All Stars rules, you see that a lot more, where they're like, well, you're supposed to do it this way, but you're really supposed to do it that way. And the way you do it, and that's just like it, that has been through maybe precedence, but it's never been established as an official rule or dogma of the show that this is the way you do things. But anyway, so the finale is promised to no one. The fact that one season had 5 contestants in the finale, and that most of them they have 4, but in the past they only had 3, that's just their prerogative. And I almost wonder if it's a matter of production stuff. So what I'm saying is, as we all know, has been very well established, but for people who don't know, while they were filming RuPaul's Drag Race season 16, there was an active writer strike. Now, RuPaul's Drag Race writers don't... RuPaul's Drag Race, the reality show, reality shows are exempt from a lot of union stuff. So one of them being the WGA. Reality shows don't fall under the umbrella of the Writers Guild of America. So as a result, World of Wonder doesn't have to hire WGA writers, and they don't have to pay WGA rates, so it's cheaper. So you might be thinking, well, why would they then worry about the writer's strike? Well, because they were in the middle of it, they didn't know how long it was going to go. Again, why would they worry? They don't use WGA writers. Because often what happens, especially as it goes on, or they were in the nascent stages of it, is the other unions, the other technical unions, might refuse to cross the picket lines, okay? So they might join in solidarity. And so what they were trying to do was think ahead. It was, we don't know how long this is going to last. And there could, in theory, be a situation where we have not filmed the finale, and if we do it live, that we won't have crew that will cross the picket lines. Or even though, again, there's no picket line here, they just don't know. They're like, we don't know what the world is going to look like in April of 2024. So why don't we just film the reunion and the finale now? That's why the reunion is not really a quote unquote reunion. It's a lip sync for the money thing. And hopefully they do a reunion, like an actual roundtable reunion. We'll see. But as of now, it's not. And then they're going to have the finale, which has already been filmed. So we might be in for some surprises in terms of what they do with that stuff. But the finale has been filmed. And so maybe production, I'm just speculating here, but I know nothing. But perhaps production-wise, it was just easier to have 3 queens. So maybe in a different world, Q would have made it to the final 4 and would have made it to the finale. But it just made sense for production matters that they have 3 queens, that it just works better that way when you're not doing a live finale. Or it could be that they just didn't like Q. You know, this is not a story from Drag Race. I've never heard a story like this from Drag Race. And I want to preface this is pure speculation. I have no evidence for what I'm going to say right now, okay? But one could imagine a world where Q, you know, each of the drag queens have handlers. Basically like nannies or moms or something who like take care of them and make sure all their little needs are met and whatnot. I think they did a makeover for them on the show 1 year. And the queens are very close to them. And I'm just remembering back to Dragula, which is not RuPaul's Drag Race, when on Hoso's first season, there were accusations of Hoso being difficult with the crew and acting like the crew worked for her and it was their responsibility to get her into their outfits. And she was sort of seen as a problem, and it came up on the show. This is all speculation based on what I've seen on the show and what I know, what the character of Q that we've seen on the show is that maybe she was just difficult. Maybe they're just like, you know what? She's kind of a shitty person. You know, maybe she made life hard for her handler. You know, one of the biggest pieces of advice that I always give people who are coming to Hollywood to try and make it big is they make a mistake in thinking that the person to kiss up to in Hollywood is the influencer or the actor or someone who's popular. And I guess that can get you some doors and opportunities, but sometimes they do it at the expense of being rude to sort of like the not attractive people, the lower people, the sort of like lower on the food chain people. And that is a big mistake. I would venture to say, and maybe other people who work in show business can weigh in on this, I would say it's more important to kiss up to the people who are the assistants, the secretaries, the people who work below the line, because often the above the line people go to those people for advice. How was that person? So like, take for instance, you go into an audition and there's a person who checks you in and whatnot. It doesn't pay to be rude to them. It pays to be nice, because often their opinion is weighed in as well. If you were kind of a dick, they might mention you were difficult, and that could preclude things. Or often, to be honest with you, an assistant has someone's ear. So if you're friends with the assistant to somebody that is very powerful, they can often pull some strings for you, do some things. You know, one time, this is a minor thing, the assistant to somebody that I know, I was always very nice to her, and I had some friends coming in from out of town. They wanted to go see Ellen. And when Ellen was on, it was impossible to get tickets to Ellen. Impossible. Months you had to wait to maybe get a chance. But I was nice to this assistant. I just happened to mention this problem. And she was friends with the assistant to the showrunner of Ellen. And boom, I got the tickets. This is like a minor thing, but this is why it pays to be nice to the below the line people. And I have a feeling, based on the behavior I saw from Q, I wouldn't be surprised, I have no evidence of this, if Q just wasn't very nice to the below the line people. And at the end of the day, when they had to choose to take four or three people to the finale, I could imagine a world where they were like, fuck this bitch, later, get out of here. We're not going to take you there because we heard you are not very nice to the people that we love. Now, by the way, I just saw on the RuPaul's Drag Race drama subreddit, Plain posted, it looks like it was on Twitter. I'm not going to call it X. And she wrote, I used to be able to clown on my sister Q so fiercely, but now I can't because she's actually down about how the fan base is treating her. Thanks a lot, Twitter, for ruining that for me. Like, we could have all had fun with her Delulu edit, but once again, you took things too far. It's not that deep, and end of day, she's still sickening. I want to pay a compliment and not a compliment. A compliment to Plain Jane. She is so fucking good at social media. She is so good at social media. I always said that the Plain Jane would lose me the second she started to talk about how the fans were mean to her and look at what the fans did, yada, 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 yada. I said the second she started doing that, I was out. Okay. And she did it, but in a very clever way that only Plain Jane could do. This is why I love her. Look at this. It's almost like a masterclass in how to do this. It's really interesting. First of all, it's not about herself. Okay. She's not saying she can't take it. So it actually seems like implicitly I'm strong. I can take it because I'm beloved and I don't need it. Like, in other words, it's coming from strength and power and self-assurance that, like, I don't mind, or I don't even notice, or I don't care, or I don't get this. It's coming from like, it's not a problem for me, but look at what you're doing to my friend. You are hurting her. And then what's even more clever, she's not even doing it in a way that is like, don't make fun of her, or she was amazing and you shouldn't be making fun of her. It's like, you took away the fun I had to make fun of her and how crazy she is. And look at what you did. And I just think it's so, I hats off to Plain Jane. It is such a great way to read the fans, but do it in such a way that is still in your brand and still sort of teaching them, not coming for them, but also saying, look, ha ha ha, making a joke out of it. A 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 tweet addressing something like this. This bitch who was really awful. I was reminded during the unreleased segment we recorded that she, if you remember, did that really nasty thing. Someone pointed, this is actually very smart what someone pointed out. I can't remember who it was. I'm sorry. I think it was Ian, but it could be Kevin or CJ. I don't know. One of the three people, and they all said very smart things, pointed out that were it not for Plain Jane intentionally sabotaging Nymphia's talent show during the Raider Queen or whatever it was called, Nymphia would have had the win and Plain Jane wouldn't have had the win. And so Plain Jane in theory would have had four wins. And I'm sorry, Nymphia in theory would have had four wins and Plain Jane would have had only three. And it was that move, which was sort of dicky and cunty, was the what made the difference in the end. Not a big difference. They made it to the final three. But yes, and I remember that was an awful thing to do, you know. But again, hats off to her. And, you know, RuPaul often talks about how you can't produce yourself on this show. I think she 100% cracked the code, and I think she 100% produced herself, and she did it in a masterful, artful way. But back to Q, she's an awful person. She's an awful person. You know, I recently dealt with something like, not this, but I recently dealt with something that shows this lesson. I really recently dealt with the lesson that fame doesn't make you an awful person. Fame just reveals who you really are. And not that Q was famous, but I think what happens on a reality show is you go on this show and you're very aware of the cameras at first. So, you know, the first few episodes, this is why I think Morphine and Plain Jane, for me at least, my affection grew for them, because they started to drop the facade because they got used to the cameras, they got used to the crew, they got more comfortable, and they really revealed the amazing people they are. But the persona that they presented at first, both of them, was something they were crafting, and it wasn't really them. But we never saw the real Plain Jane, I don't think. But she did soften up a bit. And conversely, once Q had felt comfortable, we started to see the cracks in the facade, and we started to see hints of the craziness, and she wasn't able to control it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have been in high pressure situations, and I've had these situations. You know, I wasn't in a reality show, but I was in a high level competition, and, I know how these queens feel from that. I can't even imagine adding the layer of it being televised. I don't even know what that would do to me. But even being in that high level of competition, you want everything to be perfect, it's very, very challenging emotionally. And so you can really tell someone's character by how they handle that. And I'm not saying I even succeeded all the time. But what I'm saying is, and I'm not saying that any of them should, but you go home and you bite the pillow and you scream into your hotel room and you cry there, but you never let them see you sweat on camera. Q let us see her sweat. And that leads to why I think eventually she took it out on the people who were below the line on the crew. In theory, I could see that happening. And I think that gives the evidence that she was cracking under the pressure, and we got to see who she really was, you know? Now, and also in terms of Q is, look, I've said this once, I've said it again. Do not look at the comments. Do not follow social media. It is a fool's errand for everybody, whether it's Safira, who's beloved, Plain Jane, who loves, a lot of people love her, it would still be foolish for them to look at the comments. I've said it before and I've said it again. I never look at the iTunes comments. I realize that there are horrible, horrible, horrible things said about me on the comment. Why would I want to go look at those things and have them hurt my feelings? Because I know 99% of those comments have nothing to do with the quality of my show. 99% of those comments were born from the fact that I made fun of their personal drag queen deity. And so that's where it comes from. I always use the Ginger Minj example because that was my first experience with it is people did not like that we came for Ginger Minj in season 7, and they started to really attack us. And I have never in the history of watching anything ever hear anybody say, oh no, the comments online are perfectly reasonable. You should always pay attention to them. If you are going to go on a reality show, if you are going to go on RuPaul's Drag Race, I am telling you right now, the stupidest, dumbest thing you can do is read the comments. I know a lot of people who do creative things and they, the smarter ones, never read the reviews. Because if you believe the good ones, you have to believe the bad ones. You know, I had another topic here that I wanted to talk about, but I think I'm going to end it there. It had little to do with RuPaul's Drag Race. It had to do, which was related to social media. Maybe I'll talk about it a little bit. It had to do with, you know, I'm coming to the end of this season. And one of the things I struggle with as a creator is like, okay, now what? What do I do now that this season is done? Because who knows what's going on with All Stars, but you know, this is the season that, you know, makes my content creation easier, I'll say. And it's the question is, what do I do now? And so, you know, this season, I've noticed that there are new creators who have started making content about RuPaul's Drag Race, and they have gotten some popularity. And I want to talk about one of them. You know, I was going to say the person's name, but I won't say who it is. I actually asked them to be on the show, and they just ghosted my message. I think part of it is, so Christian Ochoa, who you guys all love, he is always bugging me that I have to really improve or actually create Drag Race Recap and Afterthought Media's social media presence. And he's right. But there's a reason I have it. And I don't know if you guys have been around long enough, is Drag Race Recap had an Instagram page and it was very popular. And we had like 30,000 followers, you know, for at the time and for what little we were doing with it, it was really good. And then during the election in 2020, I made a post. I was working with this organization and we were doing a get out the vote thing. We weren't, because it was an actual organization, we weren't promoting who to vote for. We were just saying, you have to get out and vote. And we were putting together an event with drag queens that landed up having Cornbread and Delta and Laganja and Loris from Dragula and maybe a girl, I think, was there too. A bunch of prominent drag queens were there to get the vote. Anyway, so I posted a thing just promoting this event and Instagram took my account away and I tried appealing and nothing happened. And after that, I was like, do I really want to start all over again? Like, why? What's the point? Why am I going to start all over again? I don't even think I have the name Drag Race Recap anymore. But anyway, my thing is that that's why I've ignored it since then. And I'm getting to that because I've never done anything with my personal social media. I don't care that much. And so I think when I contact these creators, they go, oh, he only has like so many followers. They get seduced by my TikTok followers or my Instagram followers. When the truth is, this podcast is wildly popular, but my social media isn't because people aren't looking for me. Anyway, the point I'm making to show this is this one creator who's become very popular this season ghosted me, did not reply to my request, you know, to come on. I thought he'd be great on Relaska Thoughts talking to Robert. Because he does kind of brainy analysis of Drag Race, but I've noticed over the season. So when he first started, he was just being him. And he's like, I guess he's kind of like a, who's that asshole from Dear Evan Hansen? That guy who's married to the little twink and he's annoying and everyone hates him. Whatever that guy's name is, he has sort of his vibe, right? And he does his analysis. And I guess he sort of implied or directly said, I don't watch all his TikToks, that he used to work in reality television on the production side or producing side, or I don't remember what. And so he brings that knowledge with him and he does these like deep analysis, which is so funny because for a reality TV producer, they kind of venture into like conspiracy theory stuff. But anyway, he's really smart and well-spoken. And at first he just sort of did it, but I started to notice more and more as the season progressed, he was probably getting some sort of like thirsty comments in the TikTok section. So now it's like shirtless or like tank tops and his hairy chest is showing and he's really leaning in to the sexiness. And it's so funny that I've noticed that a lot of Drag Race creators who can get away with it, they just venture into that. Who was the one that used to make those funny RuPaul's Drag Race videos? Now he's just a porn star. This guy is going there too. And I'm very curious. There's this food creator who's this twink from the Netherlands and he now just, he's starting to go there. He hasn't done it yet, but now he's wearing tighter shirts and he's posting pictures of himself at the gym. And like, you make food. Why are we seeing this? But again, they start getting, I'll tell you what it is as a content creator, but I do audio content. You start to, first of all, they're getting seduced by the, oh, you're so hot, you're so cute comments. And they're running into a problem where they're running out of content. Like, I don't know what this Drag Race creator is talking about this week. There's nothing to talk about, you know, but I just come on and say there's nothing to talk about and then talk about for 33 minutes so far about how there's nothing to talk about. But he can't come up with cuckoo conspiracy. He can't do that for TikTok. I don't know. So what they do is they lean into, oh, look at my hair. Like, I'm shirtless for some random reason. And us basic gays, we buy into it. And so I'm very, now the cooking chef, he'll figure it out, right? But I'm very curious to see where this other creator goes, because this is his first time I've ever seeing him doing things on this season. Once this season is over, is he going to be doing weird conspiracy theories about Drag Race All-Stars? Or I guess you can kind of do it. Or Drag Race Global All-Stars or Down Under. What do you do in the off-season when you make a show that's about conspiracy theories and specifically about production and conspiracy theories about why they do what they do when no one cares as much? Once you go to Paramount Plus, the audience dies significantly. Once you go to World of Wonder, WoW Presents Plus, the audience dies even more significantly. His numbers are going to die. And that's what we're going to see, I guess, I'm speculating, more skin, more sexiness to keep the numbers up. And also, at the end of the day, I mean, at the end of the day, people just want to laugh. That's what I think. That's why we've been around for so long. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to get the first part of Alaska Thoughts that Robert and I recorded. It's, you know what, I explained at the top of the show. We'll see you guys right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race two times, recording two different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way, big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy. Tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it, they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace. We're almost done. Robert is the one who's gonna contradict me. Anything I have about Dick Me is too. Sniper Girl!
Yes.
I missed my cue there.
I will never
Robert's
miss cue.
Robert's gonna take me around the world and he'll contradict my ass. But I'll have some excuses that I'll make real fast. That was really bad. Hey everyone, welcome to Rulaska Thoughts. My name is Joe Batant. And I am joined, like I said, every Monday at 5 p.m. for about an hour. I have Robert Mata as my significant other, my boyfriend, where we just talk about the issues surrounding RuPaul's Drag Race. I just realized right now, holy shit, I just fucked myself over. Because everyone, I have to tell you guys again, it's another panel discussion today with three new people. We have Kevin, Ian, and CJ. And, you know, there's not a lot to talk about this episode. And so it's just in the middle of the episode, I just threw out the Todrick Hall thing. And then I realized that's what I was going to talk about right here at the top of the show, Robert.
Oh, so I think people are fine waiting for that.
You don't think people are chomping at the bit to hear our thoughts on Todrick Hall?
Well, I feel that it's a really, really heavily worn road, girl. What else is there new to say? We know he's a bad person.
I think what happened for the RuPaul's Drag Race community is that this story dropped during this week's episode because there's really not much to discuss with this week's episode.
No.
And UK versus the World 2 is done.
Sadly, I missed them already.
Spain All-Stars done?
Well, yeah, that finished quite a few weeks ago, actually.
That's done. I mean, there's really not a lot to talk about. Welcome to Rulaska Thoughts.
Well, one thing that
you know, you and I will always find
there's
something to talk
always
about.
Something to talk about, girl. Like the fruit
Robert,
of conversation is well, giving.
Sometimes I'll call Robert; he'll call me, and it's just like something simple, like, "Oh, can you do it this early?" And then we'll talk for like 2 hours about stupid shit. You know, you were in Seattle this weekend. I will say, Robert is a good sister. Let me tell you, sister, he's really good because I saw that he was in Seattle on social media. He was doing his usual Robert stuff. Guys, and I have to be honest with you. I'm
You're obsessed
jealous.
With my behavior.
Robert is so good at this stuff. You know, he's a handsome man. And so I'm sure he was sitting in some bar in Seattle with his tight ass shirt on. And he goes, just sitting here reading my book, which is such every gay guy's fucking dream to see Robert at a gay bar reading a fucking book by himself. How many people approached you, Robert?
Only a couple. And one of them was the bartender asking if I was okay, which is a very fair question because it's Seattle and it was raining a little. But I'll have you know that I didn't do that just to be seen. I genuinely had to check out of my hotel at noon, and my flight wasn't until 8:30. And oh my everyone God, I had gone on. That's the point. I was like, okay, well, I have to figure out something to do. And well, I looked up Steamworks, Seattle? And then I decided I didn't want to. Okay. My dad and sisters wanted to go because my sister's a teacher. They left in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah. And I had gone out to the gay bars Friday night with my sister to check out, you know, their drag race viewing parties and their local drag. And just, you know, I always love to just wander around the blocks where all the faggots live.
You should have told me that because my cousin, who is your age, he's probably about 2 weeks older. He's about 10 months younger than you, actually, now that I think about it.
Okay.
He's your age. He's a fireman in Seattle. He and his girlfriend could have hung out with you. He's very cool, very fun.
That's true, but I had also just spent 4 solid days with my family, which is not a problem, but as a pretty independent introvert, I needed time to just pop in my headphones and be contemplative. Yeah.
Oh, to sit there and read a book and have people go like, oh, well, what book are you reading?
No, sister. Also the book cover, it's clearly said I was reading a book on indigenous mythology that I had previously picked up the day before Bainbridge Island, which I don't think actually has a lot of indigenous history. But I was curious because I've never really read much on the tribes of the Pacific Northwest.
So anyway, so Robert... was saying that. But anyway, I told Robert, I go, my ex, who I just got in a fight with, lives in Seattle. I go, you should go beat him up. And Robert was willing to do it.
Well, I did ask for the address. Yeah. And also to make sure, because I don't actually know what he looks like, needed to make sure that none of my Grindr conversations were with that individual.
Oh, but why would knowing his address tell you that?
Well, at that point, it was more like, I'm willing to entertain this conversation, give me more details. I didn't even know you got in a fight.
Yes, I'll tell you.
Should we save that for another time?
Well, because I think he listens to the show. So the point is, and he blocked me, even though I made all I did was set a fucking boundary, right? All I did was set a boundary and I was blocked, mama.
Blocking someone is setting a boundary.
It is. You're right. So, but all I did was set a boundary. And
well, if you don't want to talk further about it, we don't have to. But
what do you want to talk about in the air?
Yeah. You know what happened to me on my flight back yesterday? It made zero fucking sense. Remember a few weeks ago we had that conversation with Christian about mental health and all that? I was having a great day. There was no trigger whatsoever. Halfway through my flight, I had a full-on panic attack.
I always carry Xanax with me on a airplane.
I have never in my life ever been afraid of flying, ever. It's never even crossed my mind to be afraid of flying. I don't care, but whatever. And it wasn't that. It wasn't instigated by any sort of substance. It didn't happen because of any reason. I was just sitting there listening to Jero EDM, and then suddenly my whole body started sweating like marathon runner sweating, and then the actual panic came, and I had to like get my commanding big boy voice out and say, stop it, breathe, and you know, like deal with that, which awful thing to experience during a flight, awful. I gotta say, especially because I knew in the moment this is coming from absolutely nowhere.
So two things. One, this happened to me on a flight from San Francisco to LA. And I told you, I carry Xanax with me. But the plane was very crowded that day. And the overhead bin above me was full. And they had to take my overhead, my carry-on and put it in overhead bin, like the front of the plane or something.
Oh, sure.
And so the Xanax was in there. And I was like separated from my Xanax. Ooh. And it was a very packed plane. And an old black lady was sitting next to me. And she saw that I was having a panic attack, and she held my hand and she said, "Don't worry, Jesus is carrying the plane."
Oh.
And she held my hand throughout the whole entire flight until I got home.
Did it help?
Yeah, because I imagined Jesus under the plane carrying it.
It is a little comical, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. Part two. Have you continued to have panic attacks or have these random sweats or anything?
Well, it happens, but it's never happened on a plane before.
But it hasn't happened since
usually,
the plane?
It usually has a little bit of more lead up. This truly happened out of nowhere, which has me concerned.
There's a reason I'm asking. This actually just came up the other day on a phone call or something, or I don't know what it was, where, I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but we used to have a co-host named Jorge. Okay. Mm-hmm. And on an episode that I don't even have anymore because I deleted it. Like, I deleted it from the feed. I deleted it from Patreon. Deleted it from everywhere. Deleted it from my computer. It does not exist. But he and I got into it. And I have never used talk like that to a girl. Okay. When my mother talks like that to me, it's because she cares.
She loves me.
She loves me. Right. And that's how I spoke. I literally did pull a full on Tyra on Jorge during the show. Like, it was crazy. And I remember thinking, where did that come from? Right. So then I kept being getting these panic attacks for no reason. I was hot. Like, I would literally stand under an air conditioner and I would still be sweating. Right?
Oh my God. Girl, yesterday, my whole Love Simon denim jacket with the Sherpa is now all the Sherpa's wet and crusty.
Yeah. So then that was going on for weeks. And then maybe like a month later, this was going on for about a month, I went to go pee and it felt burning. Oh. And I looked in the toilet and there was blood. So I freaked out. And no one wants to pee blood, right?
Well, I mean, it's definitely not an ideal
thing. So I went to the emergency room and by the way, of course,
this baby's first STI. Of course,
motherfucker. The attending doctor was smoking fucking hot, right?
Ooh.
Oh, my God. So
that never happens to me.
No, it never happens to me either. But, of course, that day he's hot. And he goes, well, okay. He's really kind of cool, too. He's like, so what are you feeling? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, pee in this cup for me. So I peed. And then he goes, we'll be back. And he goes, well, by the way, you're gay? And I go, yeah. He goes, okay.
Girl. Full panel.
UTI.
Yeah. Oh, UTI. Oh, a UTI, not an STI. Yeah,
and UTIs can cause these emotional outbursts. They can cause panic attacks. You're the heat, everything. Those are the lead ups. Those are the warning signs. And I don't know, Robert, if you've been up to any sort of shenanigans that would cause a UTI.
It's been a busy spring.
Yeah, exactly. So perhaps, I don't know, we'll see. But if it keeps happening, maybe, yeah. If you start peeing blood, then you know, I have a UTI.
Well, if it's not a UTI, I feel like I've been through my own unfortunate health, life-threatening issues before. So much like with the panic attack, I know how to talk to myself tragedies. Yeah, no. If I see blood in the toilet, I will definitely be concerned, but I'm not going to be running to the ER. I'm going to cross my legs in urgent care and say hi.
Yeah, and then they'll give you some antibiotics and end of story.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that was a good talk. So why don't we do this? Why don't we...
on Drag Race at all.
Well, girl, okay, everyone should know, like I said, we just had three people on and we couldn't think of anything to talk about on Drag Race. The only thing that was interesting was that, this is a great plug for the next segment, is Robert was fawning over this Matt Rogers. Have you ever seen him around the clubs there, Robert?
Yeah, I have actually. There's this funny thing. I think a year ago, I went with my ex to... one of those little, like a Slater-esque type of performers, you know, who mm-hmm. people all the hot gays like to go see. Mm-hmm. And Matt Rogers was there and he was standing next to me and my ex. Mm-hmm. And every time I would bend over to speak to my ex or make some kind of quip about the show, Matt Rogers would also lean in like I was fucking talking to him. And I was like, sister, no, I'm here with my future and current ex-boyfriend.
Okay, wait. Not the shade by saying you leaned over to talk to your ex.
Well, he's shorter than me.
Guys. He was much shorter than Robert.
And no, he was so 2 inches shorter than me, but I just had to lean in a little bit.
7 inches shorter than you.
Mama, what?
No, hold on.
He's 2 inches. He was 5'10". I'm 6 foot.
You're 6 foot. I'm 5'7". I'm 5 inches shorter than you, okay? Ian was 100% my height.
Who the fuck is Ian? You talking about Ethan?
Yeah, Ethan. I'm sorry, Ethan.
Well, we had Ian on the next segment, so I was really confused about you guys stood next to each other. No, Mama, you're tripping. Your memory is failing you.
Ethan is my height. And on that note, we'll be back right after this. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.